Welcome in to the Siouxland Sports Insider College Podcast. Marty Millard here, joined by Mitch McCumber, Metro Sports TV, and Siouxland Sports Insider Brilliance. I'll go ahead and throw in Brilliance, Mitch.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I appreciate it.
Oh, come on, man. So anyway, we're here catching up on football. Mitch, been a heck of a season, and, you know, our teams – that we talk about the most. Let's go ahead and start with Iowa State, kind of where things sit right now, and then I'll cover the Iowa angle.
So Iowa State, tough game last week against Texas Tech. I talked about it being a trap game, and Iowa State starting off slow and then getting a momentum in the second half, and it literally fell into exactly how I said. You know, the resilience of this team is where it's always going to be at. I had no doubt in my mind that they weren't going to come back. They did. You just left enough time down, and I told you Iowa State lost in the most Iowa State way possible. Kicker that's kicked a career long of 46 hits a 62-yard field goal with a cast on.
Yeah.
You know, it's if it was going to be his day, it was going to be his day against Iowa State. And, you know, obviously, great teams don't lose those games. Good teams lose and recuperate and figure out what they did wrong. But you have a huge task coming up and against Oklahoma, who just lost again their first game against Baylor. Really were manhandled. You know, Lincoln Riley's pretty upset, too, with Baylor kicking that extra field goal at the end. So we'll see if they take it easy on the Cyclones or if Iowa State's going to really have to scratch and claw to try to get another win in Norman. But, you know, the season's not done. You already have your six wins. You know, you'd like to have eight wins as the season's done. There's still a very, very small chance that you can make the Big 12 tournament, but that's really going to be set on the back burner now. It's been a week on mentality for the Cyclone group. You know, in all good retrospects, Breece Hall got a touchdown, so he just needed a touchdown in Oklahoma and TCU to break the record. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's playing good ball. Brock didn't have the best first half of his you know, that he's had in a while, but came out and played the second half really well. We got Charlie Kohler going. You know, some guys that we hadn't seen make huge impacts in the game a lot. That defense is really banged up, and then against this team like Oklahoma, the secondary has to play better. There's been a couple of games where in just certain halves they've looked kind of like Swiss cheese. Basically the whole game against Texas Tech they were pretty beatable. And it's hard for your defensive line and your linebackers, even with the defense that Haycock likes to run, if your corners are getting beat on, you know, even slants or, you know, longer posts and stuff like that, it's hard to come back and win games with even with how good your offense is. So it's going to be hard for Iowa State to get to where they wanted to be when the year started now. But really now all you got to focus on is the next two games. If conference championship falls into your lap, you play for that, and then not. You study up and have the weeks to prepare for your bowl game and go out and give it your best effort. But, you know, nothing really lost. I think there's still a really good three-team race for the Big 12 championship game. We talked about the Oklahoma-Baylor game. Baylor, you know, had one mishap last week or two weeks ago against TCU. Which is so uncharacteristic for Baylor.
Mind-boggling. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
And then they come out and they play absolutely great against Oklahoma, where you know, they still kind of have a little bit of a quarterback issue. They don't know who they want to play. Lincoln Riley put, they put Rattler back in, and then they took Rattler out and put Williams back in again. I don't know if it was just with an injury or they just wanted to see if they could get a different look at quarterback. So we'll see how that goes. They dropped, I think, down past Baylor. I think they're ranked 12th.
Yeah.
And Baylor 11. And then you have the team that lost to Iowa State and Oklahoma State, who then trounces TCU 63-17. Now they're ranked 9, so you have that area around the 10, the 9, 11, 12, where the Big 12 lines up. And, you know, it's going to be these last couple weeks, we even with Iowa State kind of taking themselves out of the picture for the Big 12 race, the championship game is still undecided, and it'll be undecided until the last week. It's going to be really cool to see how that game finishes out. But, you know, I think Big 12 football is just kind of really starting, as crazy as that seems, with only 2 weeks left plus the conference championship. It's really only just getting started. I think these next 2 weeks are going to be incredible. But, you know, going on to your Big 10 side, a lot of close games that we figured would be close. And I think, honestly, three really good matchups in the Big Ten this last week. Michigan and Penn State. Iowa, Minnesota was a good game. And although the score doesn't reflect it too much, the Purdue-Ohio State game was a little bit better than what I saw. And it actually made me more of a believer in this Ohio State team. You know,
I found myself feeling the same way after
exactly.
that game.
They played kind of lackluster a couple of weeks. C.J. Stroud really found his stride. This offense was starting to click. So, you know, and you being a Big Ten guy, you know, this Ohio State team. Now, to you, after this game against Purdue, who were the Giant Slayers, they handled their business there. Now, is in your minds, is Ohio State still the team to beat in the Big Ten?
Yeah, I think so. After what I saw Saturday versus Purdue, I think they certainly are. They're firing on all cylinders on offense right now. Their offensive line plays improved. They have the young kid, the Henderson kid at running back, that's amazing. I mean, he's a handful. And not to mention the other four or five stars that got loaded up behind him. But they just look – it's ridiculous if you look at their roster. But if you look at where they're at and what's going on, and then, you know, Michigan, they've had a good year. You know, that game is in the Big House next week, a week from this Saturday, and that should be a heck of a football game. But I just can't see Michigan keeping up with Ohio State. So I like where Ohio State's at. I think that they'll close out that division, and then obviously they're going to end up playing either Wisconsin or Iowa or Minnesota. I'd have to lean right now towards Wisconsin, who over the course of the last 3 weeks have looked once again more like themselves. They're jumping out to a lead. They strangle the play clock and the game clock, and all of a sudden, you know, they're up 14-0, and you feel like you're down 24-0. So they really dictate tempo when they're blocking well and running the ball. And Graham Mertz has been playing well recently. But I will throw out just a bone of contention for Wisconsin. This week, they're hosting a Nebraska team that, you know, hey, we've been sitting here all year going, you know, Nebraska needs to do this, they need to do that. I mean, this is a team that you can almost mark it by the week. They're going to lose by at least one touchdown. So, I mean, speaking from an Iowa fan, in terms of an Iowa fan, I'm looking at this going, you know, maybe this is a time when you know, Nebraska gets that break and, you know, they can break through with a win in Madison. But I really think that Nebraska, I mean, at this point, I expect fake field goals, fake punts, you name it. I mean, they're looking for a win to close out the year. And that's my Hawks are included on that list, too. Next week, day after Thanksgiving, they'll be in Lincoln. So everything's on the table for Nebraska. They got nothing to lose. So kind of a scary team, scary situation right now. But they did have one of their main linebackers, really good player, JoJo Dillman, who has decided to cease and desist this year. He got an injury, and he's just going to get ready for the NFL here. So, yeah, interesting games to be played. This week, Iowa, when I look back to when Petras went out during the Northwestern game, and Alex Padilla came in at quarterback, you could just see kind of a breath of fresh air with just the team. And they were enthusiastic about him being in the huddle. And to Petra's credit, he's a very good teammate. You could see that on the sideline. But I think right now this is Alex Padilla's team. And I understand that Spencer Petras, Brian Ferentz met with the media today and had mentioned that he's Petras is healthy and has looked good in practice. So, I mean, make of that what you will. But for my money, Alex Padilla should be taking snaps. And I think it's not that Iowa's lighting up the scoreboard, but Padilla throws a really good ball. He's got good feet in the pocket. He keeps his head up and his eyes downfield. And you can see him going through his progressions. And it's just – it's nice to see – And, you know, it opens up the running game for Iowa a little bit more, too, as well.
Definitely, definitely. And you know, even being an Iowa State fan, seeing that more balance or the movement of the ball in Iowa's offense is good to see, just because you know that defense is going to be good. It's been one of the better defenses, if not the best defense in the Big Ten, if not in all of college football throughout most of the year. And you just want to take a little bit of that pressure off that defense every once in a while and be like, hey,
they've been on the field a lot.
Yeah, we got you a 14-point lead. You can blitz if you want to. You can sit back in coverage. Yeah. Do what you got to do. We're fine. We got you this lead. And I think that you have to do that. And in order to do that, you have to have Padilla in at quarterback. Now, we'll see how this game goes. You know, I never really, like you said, didn't really announce a starter. I feel like, and we talked about this before too, I feel like it is Padilla. They're just kind of keeping the media on their heels, you know. It's all politics and anything anyways, we know that.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised if it was anyone but Padilla that came out and played quarterback for Iowa, even on senior night and stuff like that. It's the last home game that the Hawks have.
Yeah.
You don't want to make these passionate fans start booing a couple minutes into this 1 o'clock kick. So you know, as good of a game, and I know you'll be tuned into that game, but 11 o'clock kickoff, there's a monumental.
Well, actually, 1 p.m. 1 p.m. now for this week.
The Iowa game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Iowa-Illinois.
The 11 o'clock kickoff game I'm talking about is Michigan State, Ohio State.
Oh, got you. Okay.
And, you know, I'm going to be watching a little bit of the Iowa State-Oklahoma game, but there's no way I'm not going to flip over to that game either. We're going to see if Michigan State's really about what they're about. You know, they played a good game last week against Maryland, 40-21. But you have to go and look at the film and been like, all right, the giant slayers that slayed us in Purdue went – and played at the Ohio State, which we are going to, and then, you know, they're on the road again this week, and got kind of trounced, 59-31. It was a good game. Yep. Purdue put up a pretty good fight, but I mean, it was from the jump of the gun, pretty much all Ohio State.
Yeah.
If they can at least keep this game close, and I'm not saying that they win. I think Ohio State in the Big House is too much.
Yeah.
At this point in time, but if they can keep it close and kind of, you know, say, hey, we didn't win this game, but we deserve to play in this game, a game like this. It's going to be bodes of confidence for them because, you know, you have that game, and then the next week you play Penn State, who could play a spoiler to you too. I think if you play an Ohio State team tough, and if you're able to win, great. If you're able to lose by just a little bit and then handle business against Penn State, I think you chalked it up as a great year for Michigan State. I definitely did not see them where they were going to be ranked at. I didn't see them even putting up I thought – 500 at best.
Yeah.
And to be where they're at, ranked seventh in the nation, it's odes to talent on the coaching staff and then the players buying in to the program. It's going to be that's going to be the best game of all this week in the ranked matchups. Everyone else has, I mean, Arkansas, Alabama, I think Bama rolls on that.
Yeah. The SEC's got their so-called off week by week.
Yes, and
they have a game, but it's not really a game.
Exactly, and then the Big 12. I mean, the best game honestly is going to be the Iowa State Oklahoma game, which could get out of hand early if Iowa State plays sloppy. But you know, that's the best game on paper for the entire week, which could turn into, if Michigan State plays a good enough game, it could be the game of the year.
Yeah,
in the Big Ten, I think it's going to be a great game. I want to see now. Because we've seen weeks of C.J. Stroud play well. I want to see an entire
–
entire year of C.J. Stroud playing well. Now, if he plays a good week against Purdue and all of a sudden plays a better defense and a better team overall in Michigan State and plays sloppy, you know, I'm not on the committee, but if I'm the committee member and they're sitting at – I think they're at four.
Yeah.
You know, do you think – I mean – you know, they play better competition and they're not so good. Do we keep them in this, you know, with the loss? Or do we move a Cincinnati? And that's a shot at cash, by the way. I want Cincinnati to be in the top four. But do you then move a team that is outside to move them in because you want a better matchup? Because Ohio State's not playing the caliber of teams Now, I don't think that they're able, they could move them out unless they were to lose. Mm-hmm. But you kind of start to think like, hey, Ohio State's beating up on some of the lower teams in the Big Ten. But whenever they play a good team, it's kind of kind of scary. But Ohio State's got some impressive matchups coming up. You know, we said Michigan State has good matchups. Michigan, they play Maryland at Maryland.
Yeah.
That game could be interesting, especially if McNamara doesn't play to his caliber. It's going to be a good week. And I like what you said about Nebraska, too, going on the road and probably playing spoiler Wisconsin. I loved Nebraska's defense all year.
Yeah, they've just played well all season.
It's just been the offense. And this week, and with the we always talk about the changing in coaches or, you know, a team that plays – behind their new head coach or their interim head coach, what's this team going to do now that Scott Frost fired all of his offensive assistants? And now he's going to be more determined to score and put up points because he's going to say, hey, this whole time it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It was the people I had under me doing different play calls and stuff like that. So he's going to be motivated. Hopefully his players are motivated. And that would be the game I think that everyone could circle as an upset of all these ranked matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska going on the road and getting a very big win. I mean, you know, out of your bowl games, they're going to pull all the stops, like you said. You'll see fake punts. You'll see different people line up. I'll see a couple of wildcats. You know, Scott Frost has a lot in his playbook, and he's going to empty it out against Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're right. He'll empty the bag. And, you know, Nebraska, if I'm Wisconsin, I'm a little bit worried about this game just because of the what-if game. And one thing Nebraska does want is they want a win to take into the offseason and create some momentum here. And, you know, you got the first recruiting deadline coming up December 15th. You know, you gotta land a punch somewhere here. And, you know, I'm hoping they land it in Madison and not – at home in Lincoln the following week.
Yes, exactly.
Against the Hawkeyes. Iowa. So, yeah, but, you know, first thing first, Iowa's got to take care of business at home. Coach Bielma, COVID, will not make the trip to Iowa City. He's under COVID protocol. I always like Coach Bielma. I think he's a hell of a coach. He's got a good thing going there at Illinois. They're talented. Iowa just, you know, has to just play their game, no turnovers, forced turnovers. I think we're looking at probably an Iowa Hawkeye win if they do what they're supposed to do. And Padilla's at quarterback. I like Iowa at like 23-10 at home.
I like a lower scoring game. I like 21-14. I think it's going to be, you know, they're going to force turnovers, but I think that in the long run, Padilla and the offense, it's going to be probably a 14-14 game later into the fourth quarter. And I like Padilla. Although being a true freshman, leading this team down and being the leader and end up winning and more doing a game-winning drive. It's probably going to be midway through the fourth quarter, but I like him taking the team down the field and scoring the winning touchdown. I like Hawks by 7.
Okay. And then flip over to Iowa State. You had kind of mentioned, you know, Iowa State as far as their play at Texas Tech. I'm a guy that, you know, I clean the slate and go to the next week. And Iowa State has given Coach Riley a lot of problems. And those same players that have done that are still there. You have running back Breece Hall. And again, today I had heard he's a semifinalist for the Doak Walker Award. Congratulations to him.
Deservingly
I mean,
so.
Yeah, exactly. Very much so. And I actually like – I think Oklahoma's a little – had the wind taken out of their sails last week. I think this is a good spot for Iowa State. And I like the Cyclones here, 28, and Oklahoma, 21.
I like that prediction. We'll just keep it off and chuck to the next. I don't know. so, yeah, the thing – and it happens a lot, being an Iowa State fan. We'll get a team after a heartbreaking or a loss that they didn't expect coming. And you're going to get a team that's going to be pissed off. I mean, Lincoln Riley was mad last week because Baylor went for a field goal. But in the league, you know, a point difference matters.
Yeah.
So we're going to get a mad Lincoln Riley team that's going to want to – no, I wouldn't say run up the score, but in a way run up the score.
But they got Bedlam next week.
They do. And you start to think that now with this Iowa State team losing, do you look ahead? Do you think it's as big of a matchup as Bedlam is going to be?
Yeah.
Because we've ran through the numbers. Oklahoma has a chance to still not make the Big 12 tournament.
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, sitting here last week, I would told you, and I believe I did tell you, it's whoever versus Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You know, and with how everything is shaken out, it could be a Baylor-Oklahoma State game, you know, in the Big 12 tournament. And Oklahoma definitely doesn't want that. But they just got to handle business and do what they do. It's going to be an absolutely amazing crowd. I really wish this was a night game just to kind of mm-hmm. – people that don't watch a lot of Big 12 football can get the atmosphere that Oklahoma has. Norman is an amazing place. It's always rocking. The fans there are super passionate. Don't have to worry about losing to Kansas in overtime like Texas did.
That's right.
But it's going to be a game to where it's going to come down to the second half. I see another Texas Tech kind of start for Iowa State. Just because Oklahoma's going to come out and they're just going to open up something that that Iowa State hasn't seen defensively or offensively, and we're just not going to be able to cover it. I fear for our corners. Their receivers are really explosive. I think Iowa State comes back, but I do have Iowa State losing on the road in Norman 35-28, a late touchdown by Caleb Williams. He's super explosive. Both sides of the ball with running and passing. I think he gets like a bootleg, something, scores a late touchdown, and Oklahoma prevails. I hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be, like I said, of the Big 12 games, it's going to be the best game that there is. I just think that Iowa State had their number last year, and I don't think with them playing in Norman they're going to have their number this year. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, be a great weekend of football. And, you know, as we're talking about football, all of a sudden we're starting to – you turn on TV, there's a lot of hoops going on too. So why don't you brush us up real quick, Big 12, what you've seen. Just briefly, I know we're just early on into it and there's a ton of basketball games. But what have you seen so far in the Big 12 and what do you like?
I like Kansas. I like Kansas a lot. I'd be a fool not to say that I don't like them.
Yep.
Just their talent with even their transfers. You know, they really honed in on the transfer market the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Self, you know, with his earlier years when he had Embiid and those guys that would get injured, you need to have a backup plan. So I think that, and with how crazy this transfer portal is, I mean, we watched a game the other night where Kentucky has like 8 or 9 transfers.
Yeah,
I've never heard of a Kentucky team. They're a blue blood. They always just rebuild with freshmen, but
I mean, it's crazy. You can rebuild your team literally overnight in basketball.
Overnight, exactly. And be just as good as what you would with incoming freshmen, but these guys have played basketball for 4 years.
Right.
And I think that the transfer market, which really honestly started in large part at Iowa State when Fred Hoiberg did it, people have really grasped into that. I mean, Gonzaga's even doing it now. Mm-hmm. They have some transfers and guys that are playing, but I like the Big 12, in a sense, is top three loaded. Baylor's good. Texas is good. Kansas is good.
Yeah.
Those three teams are going to beat the crap out of each other during the Big 12 season.
Yeah.
Baylor is a team I think that's finished either third or fourth in the league, mm-hmm. and they won the national championship last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just how balanced it is. And then you go to the other side in, like, the Big Ten. Ohio State plays a really crazy first opening game, barely wins.
Against Akron.
Against Akron. And then you had the two teams in the top 10 lose. Illinois on the road against Marquette. Marquette's a good basketball program, has a chance to be ranked in the top 10 throughout the year. And then Michigan losing to Seton Hall, another team, has a chance to be ranked in the top 25. Mm-hmm. I don't take those as bad losses. Michigan was at home. That would be a bad loss, I mm-hmm. guess, if you really wanted to look at it. And Illinois playing on the road without Kofi Cockburn. He hasn't played mm-hmm. all year, which is a definite sign of a worry to me, because he came back for a reason. He's honestly your best player with DeSumo out. It's going to be different for this team if he's not able to see the floor a lot at the beginning of the season. The Marquette game might not be the only game Illinois loses, but I still have no fear in it. Your Hawks are looking amazing. The Murray twins are insane. Without Garza there, it's a lot different of a feel.
Yeah, it's a different look.
But you got guys running up and down the floor. You got the old guy there in Bohannon. I think he's going to celebrate his 40th birthday by the time the season's done.
I think so.
But, you know, he brings a dynamic to not even just not on the floor preference or, you know, on the floor. But he's just a leader in the locker room. And right. He's been there before. He's, you know, they've been to Big Ten championships. They've been to – you know, the postseason play in March and stuff. And he's kind of like another coach in a sense with all these
and
young guys.
I like the fact that he's at the two and not at the point anymore. Yes. So, mm-hmm. you know, his strength, I mean, as we know, is, you know, he's a good shooter. Yeah. He's a very streaky shooter too. So if he gets hot, he gets hot. The one team that I really like that we haven't mentioned yet is Purdue. And they're sneaky.
I was just going to mention them too.
They're sneaky good. And, you know, let's not forget college basketball. In my mind, there's no more home field or home court advantage than there is in basketball. And it's extremely difficult to win on the road. And, you know, you want to hold serve and win at home. But if you can rack up wins on the road, more power to you. And you're going to be a lot more presentable to the committee when it gets time to go ahead and fill out your bracket here in March.
Yeah, and Purdue, I'm talking about all these ranked teams. Purdue's ranked sixth in the nation. So you overlook them with your traditional blue bloods in mm-hmm. the Big Ten of Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State. And Purdue's, the way that court's built, like the fans are kind of a little higher up, but they still feel like they're right on top of you. And
it's
those fans
a tough
are
place to play.
Super passionate. Yeah. But, yeah, any win on the road for any team in the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac 12, mm-hmm. anything that you can get is huge. And future Big 12 team, BYU, got a huge win on the road at Oregon.
Yes, they did.
81-49 at Oregon. That was insane. But
I thought Oregon was full. They had a lot coming back.
They did. They played.
They ran
flat
Iowa
game.
Off the floor last year in the second round of the NCAA tournament. I mean, I was really impressed with them.
Yeah, they played a little flat, I think. They'll be back and they'll be fine. But you know, the team I talked about played Villanova on the 12th Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That's UCLA, Johnny Juszczyk, and that team. Oh man,
fun to watch.
Is it bad of me to lock them as my perennial favorite? I mean, Gonzaga with Chet and the transfers and Timmy and stuff. They're just as good. But there's something about that UCLA team. That just they've been there. Everyone came back. Their board doesn't read make a Pac-12 conference championship. It reads make a Final Four, make a national championship.
Right.
And I think this team has everything to do that and get there. It's just going to be awesome to see how this season plays out because we talk about it a lot, the Big Ten and Big 12. They're going to beat the crap out of each other, but so is the Pac-12.
Yeah.
You know, so is the SEC. It's this year, like, there's not, like, a team right now that I sit in before I'd say, hey, Duke is the team this year.
Yeah.
Kentucky's the team, Kansas, mm-hmm. North Carolina. All these teams are super good, and these athletes are insane. We haven't even talked about a team in Memphis with all the guys that they have coming. Every year we never mention a team from UConn. I mean, they've moved on since before the season started for football in the basketball season already. And it's just going to be – this year for basketball might be the most competitive we've seen in a long time. And I don't know if it's with COVID last year and everyone transferring to different schools.
Yeah. It really muddied the waters. And, it's
as a basketball fan, I'm all for it, though.
Yeah,
if you want to make even play,
creates chaos.
I'll do it. I'll take it. Because that just makes March that much more enjoyable.
Yeah. And back to your point about UCLA, they're terrific. You know, put it in reverse a little bit. When they announced Mick Cronin as the head coach, I was like, he's a fish out of water, man. He's been at Cincinnati forever. To me, it was reminiscent of Mike Riley from Oregon State going to Nebraska, you know. It just didn't seem like a fit, but credit to him and his staff, you know. In UCLA, you can just set a candy jar out front in the athletic department and the recruits are going to come.
Yes.
However, you got to execute, and he's a pretty damn good coach.
Oh, it's insane. I'm excited to see everyone's growth as the season goes on. Like you said, there's a lot of teams that have taken some lumps early. And some teams that, you know, they're working with a lot of freshmen and they're working with guys that are transferred in that haven't played well. together. And as after you get out of your non-conference play and into your conference play, that's when you start to see the teams that are going to make your Elite Eights and stuff come together, and you know, knock off those early losses and really play together. And then you'll see your Wooden Award winners start to really assert themselves in the basketball season. But it's always a sad part when you transition from college football into like a small dead period until you get into conference play, and then you got conference basketball.
Yeah.
But I'm so ready for it. And before you know it, March is going to be here, and I'm going to be the happiest guy alive.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. And we do want to mention just one more quick football note here before we wrap up. Mitch and I are working together. We're putting together a couple bowl guides, one for Iowa State. Mitch will handle that one, and then I'll do the Iowa one. So once details come forth in regards to that, the destination is announced. We'll let you know where those can be picked up. We have quite a bit of interest here from local sponsors, and we'll have some intriguing information inside those bowl guides. So in all that information, we'll put out on Twitter, Facebook, and the website. So, Mitch, good week talking to you here. College, been a great college football season. Can't wait for this weekend at Hoops. The ball's up in the air. So we're looking good here. Thanks for joining us. College Podcast presented by Firehouse and Docks Downtown. Go catch them this weekend. Big games down there, Iowa, Illinois, Iowa State, Oklahoma. Be a great weekend down there. Thanks for listening in, and talk to you next week.